The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Thanks, Bob. It's been a joy and a privilege this weekend to share with brothers and sisters from many different nations and places, from the islands and the places of the South Pacific. We've talked about the lands of the Holy Spirit, great South lands of the Holy Spirit. And, with this prophetic Voices of the Land conference, we've received teaching, we've received input, we've seen amazing prayer and prayer being answered. You know, last night, we saw a young man standing here who, for everything at the back of the room, was a blur. And by the end, he was reading the words on the back of the wall. You know, we celebrate that, don't we? And we celebrate two young teenage boys that had come who gave their lives to the Lord last night. And we are so thankful for the remarkable gifts that have been given this weekend to cause this weekend to come about. It's been a joy, Ada, to walk with you over what's been over 20 months now, coming together for the planning of this gathering over this weekend. And it's been a joy to get to know Ada and walk with her and just know her heart. And the way that she hears really clearly from the Lord, her prophetic words I've found to be really accurate as she's ministered here a few times in our evening services and in other times as well. You know, one of the things that was really remarkable over this weekend was Friday night, as we gathered together for worship. And as we sang and worshipped here, and as I said, there are over 300 people here in the auditorium, the thing that was remarkable, it felt like as I was standing there, there was this wall of voices, like a tidal wave, where the people singing were drowning out the music coming from the stage at times. It was that loud, that remarkable, that passionate, and that heartfelt. That's a pretty amazing place to be, isn't it? To be surrounded, literally a surround sound of music, of voice. And I was reflecting on this in the context, if that's what worship was like here, then what's worship going to be like in heaven? What's it going to be look like, feel like, what's it going to sound like when we gather together with thousands upon thousands, 10,000 upon 10,000 of people worshipping together? And I think we get a glimpse of this in Revelation chapter 5. In Revelation chapter 5, we see Jesus being worshipped by four living creatures and 24 elders. And it says that they are standing there with their harps and they are playing. They have their golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they hold those, which is a representation of what used to happen in the Old Testament, where the incense was held in these little golden bowls on the table of the presence. And so, with the bread of the presence. And there, they would, the prayers that you pray and people before you and after you pray are these held in these bowls. And they're poured out. And then we look at the lyrics of what these 24 elders were singing. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. And we see here that the 24 elders are worshipping Jesus because Jesus is the only one who is worthy to take the scroll. He's the only one who has lived without sin. He's the only one who was willing to give of himself his very life in order to deal with sin, that we would be purchased for God. When we were captives to sin and death, it was Jesus giving his life for us, as we shared and celebrated and remembered this morning in communion. And you were purchased. It makes it very clear there. And with your blood, that is with the blood of Jesus, you are purchased for God. You know, sometimes you go into the shopping centre and you have the stores where everything is under $5. You know what I mean? You know, the cheap shops. Or they say, you know, while the red light is flashing, run to such and such a place because it's on special. Or you can get a 2-for-1 deal. And you have all these opportunities where things are cheap. But the purchase of you was not cheap. And it was not a 2-for-1 deal where you can slide into heaven hanging onto the coattails because your mum knew Jesus. It doesn't work that way. You were purchased with the most expensive gift that was possible, the Son of God. That's how much God wanted you. That's how much God loves you, even though it cost him so much, the death of his own Son. And this passage says that you're purchased for God, persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You know, this weekend we've had people from many different nations gathered here. We've had people from many different tribes and clans and groups. We've got many different languages that are spoken, many dialects that are being spoken by the people represented and gathered. People from many people groups and nations, all across the nations of this land and the South Pacific. And God has purchased you. That's what the 24 elders continue to sing. They continue to sing that God has purchased you with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? So that we can know him as our heavenly Father, as our heavenly Dad. And some people might think, well, it's great to be saved. As long as we're saved as children of God, we are certain of eternity. And some people might think, well, it's great to be saved because that means that we should walk in eternal blessing. Well, it's true. We are saved to be children of God. It's true that we are saved, that we are blessed. But Revelation 5 goes on to show us something in addition to that. You have made them a kingdom and priests to serve our God. And they will reign on earth. What that tells us is that you were purchased and you have a responsibility. There is a responsibility that comes with the purchase price. And that is that you are to be a kingdom and you are to serve as priests and you are to reign on earth. You know, we have been made to be a kingdom. That's what this tells us. We've been made to be a kingdom. And we often talk about the kingdom of God. We've just prayed about it. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We hear Jesus talk a lot about the kingdom of God. In fact, of the 40 or so parables that are recorded in the New Testament that Jesus spoke, about a third of those are on the kingdom of God. That's how important it is to Jesus, that he wanted us to understand from his teaching the importance of the kingdom of God. So what's the kingdom of God? Well, kingdom of God, when you think of this word, is made up of two parts. King, which is clearly referring to king as Jesus. And the second part, the suffix domain or dom, is where we get the words domain. It's where we get the word dominion. So the kingdom of God, it's a place where the king has his domain. It's a place where the king has his dominion. In other words, the kingdom of God is the domain of God as king. And so when Jesus came, he declared the kingdom of God is near. Let's look what he says in Luke 4. I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because that is why I was sent. I was sent to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. He is restoring things back to the way he always intended it to be, the way God created it in the very beginning. When God created Eden, it was a place where there was perfect relationship between God the Father and his son and daughter, Adam and Eve. It was a place where there was this perfect relationship between Adam and Eve. But we see that sin damaged that relationship. Sin broke that relationship. And so Jesus' ministry is about creating a way to restore relationships. It's a way of restoring back that relationship between God the Father and his children. It's about a way of restoring a relationship between people, that we would learn to love one another. So the kingdom of God is restoring the relationships. That's at the very heart of it. It's dealing with the sin that separates us from God the Father. It's dealing with the sin that comes between us and one another. And all of that is done because we have been purchased through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which the elders continue to sing about. Because it's significant. And so the kingdom of God is about dealing with that sin, and we need to deal with that sin. And that's called repentance. And so we see that Jesus comes, and the very first words that we see Jesus speaking in Mark's gospel, because Mark wants to prioritize this, he says, the time has come, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. So in other words, he's associating here this aspect, the responsibility we have for repentance together with the coming of the kingdom. These are united. Through his death on the cross, through receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior, through repenting of our sins, we're restored back into that relationship with God the Father once again. We can be restored back into a relationship with one another as we repent of our sin and seek forgiveness from one another. The restoring of relationships sits at the very center of the kingdom of God. And we see too, the kingdom is about seeing people's lives flourish once again. Just as it was in the Garden of Eden where life flourished, in the kingdom of God, we want to see lives flourishing once again. That's why we see healing is such a big part of the kingdom of God. It's why when Jesus is talking in Luke's gospel in chapters 9 and 10, we read verses like these. But the crowd learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. In other words, Jesus is making it very clear here that there's this connection between healing and seeing lives flourishing, being restored, together with the kingdom of God being released. We see it again in the next chapter. Heal the sick who are there. Tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. This is what Jesus is telling his disciples to do, is to go out and bring healing, because as they go out and minister healing into people's lives, it's evidence that the kingdom of God is being released. And there's another way that God demonstrates the kingdom of God is here, and that's when good prevails over evil. And we see this, and this is a powerful if-then statement. It says, but if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. That makes it really, really clear that there is this direct connection between the confrontation of evil, the driving out of evil and the demonic, and the releasing of the kingdom of God. They are associated. Again, this powerful if-then statement. So if in Jesus' words, the kingdom of God is about proclaiming the kingdom, if it's about repentance, if it's about healing, if it's about confronting evil and restoring relationship with God, then we are seeing the kingdom of God being released. That's what kingdom is about. And so if this song of the 24 elders is one where we are made to be a kingdom, then that means that we are made to live like the king. We are made to be part of the kingdom. We're called to proclaim the kingdom of God. We too, like our King Jesus, are called to share and teach on the kingdom of God. We're called to help people come to know God the Father. We're to help them as they discover what it means to repent of sin, to confess sin, as they learn what that means as we lead them in prayer. It means as part of the kingdom of God, we get to walk with people and pray with people that they would receive healing in body, soul and spirit. We're called to confront evil, whether that be injustice in our society or whether that's at a spiritual level and dealing with the demonic. We're called to do that because we're meant to be like our king because we're part of the kingdom. That's what the 24 elders continue to sing about and declare. So this morning I want to share with you one way that we can look at the kingdom of God and understand that. I believe it's helpful to be practical in sometimes and really understand how do you live this on a daily basis. And I want to look at a way that I hope is easy to remember. Now I'll see how easy it is to remember by looking at people who are regulars at Rangeville. Because if you remember it as I say it, then I know you've remembered it and it's easy to remember. Okay, but there's another thing that I want to say, and that was Pastor Delana from Fiji yesterday spoke to us really powerfully. This is a man that when he speaks, the earth rumbles. incredible ministry. And as he spoke, he talked about the significance of what it means for us to receive. But he also challenged us. In fact, I might even go as far as to say at times I felt like a rebuke, that we have been wanting to be on the receiving end and receive and receive and receive and receive until we are received to overflowing, but we're not releasing. And there is a responsibility that we have as recipients of God's love and grace and mercy, His word, His empowering, His indwelling of the Spirit in us. There is a responsibility we have to release the kingdom of God, to release the goodness of God, the mercy and the love of God. And so this morning when I talk about the kingdom of God in this very practical sense, let us not just be people who go, well, that's a good theory, or that's easy to remember, or that's a good idea. Let us be people who can take it and practically live it out and walk in this. And so whether you hear this for the first time or the 10th time, it's my prayer that you not only receive, but walk in this, release this, as we seek to release the kingdom of God. And so this morning I want to talk about the kingdom of God in a very simple way of four different aspects. Revelation 5 has shown us that we are purchased by God by the blood of Jesus Christ in order that we would be a kingdom. That we would be a kingdom. God's people, it says, from every tribe, language, people and nation are called to be a kingdom to reign on earth. God's people, that's you. People purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are God's people. But it's not just about who you are, it's also where you are. It's where God has placed you. And God has placed each of you in a unique and distinct place that no one else can fill. Each of you has a sphere of influence that no other person has in the same or identical way. God has placed each of you in a family or a home. God has placed you in a street, a town, a region. God has placed some of you in workplaces, in some of you He's placed into community groups, sports groups, service clubs, whatever it is, God has placed you in particular places for a purpose. That you can release the kingdom of God in that place in a way that no one else can. And there's a responsibility that you have to release God's kingdom in that place. Because God has placed you there. And there are times that we want to resist being in a certain place. And we go, it's hard. I don't like being here. But until God tells you to move, you have a responsibility in that place to release the kingdom of God. By who you are as a carrier of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, release the kingdom of God in that place. How do we do that? We do that by living according to the ways of God. We live under His rule. We live according to the Word of God. We seek to understand the Word of God. We seek to live out the Word of God. We seek to live by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, leading us, guiding us, directing us in the way that we're meant to live. So by His Word and by His Spirit, we live according to His ways, according to His rule, under His reign. We want to live according to His character. We want to reveal His character, which is love and grace and mercy and righteousness and justice and creativity. The expression of creativity is part of His character. And we're meant to walk in the blessings of God. That's an evidence of the kingdom of God, that where we see blessing, we know the kingdom of God's being released. But if you are God's people in the place that God's called you to be, if you're called to live according to His way, then you are not only called to be blessed, you're called to release blessing. You're called to walk in blessing and release blessing wherever you go. See, the very first words that we see God speaking to humanity are recorded in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And God blessed them. This is Adam and Eve. The first words were words of blessing. Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. That sounds like flourishing. That sounds like life. That sounds like the kingdom of God. God's first words to humanity were words of blessing. You are blessed, but we have a responsibility to release blessing as well. See, as God's people, in the place that God's placed you, when you live according to his ways, then you are called to release blessing. That you would reveal the attributes, the characteristics of the kingdom of God. You see, you have influence in the place that God has placed you in. Use your influence for the purposes of the kingdom of God. Release his favor. Release his blessing. You know, we've seen already that the attributes of the kingdom of God is that we need to proclaim it. We need to share the goodness of the kingdom of God, that others would hear that, that they would repent and become part of the kingdom. That wherever you are, you're called to bring healing into people's lives, spiritually, emotionally, physically. Wherever you are, you're called to confront evil and release it with good. See, wherever you are, that place should be better because you're there. Because you're part of the kingdom. And that place should be better while you're there and because you leave a heritage from there. See, as you go back to your tribe, your people, who speak your language, as you go back to your people and to your nation, we want to be releasing the kingdom of God wherever you go. And as we continue then in Revelation 5, it says, you made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. So what it's saying here is it's not just that we are called to be a kingdom, we're called to be priests. We're called to be priests who will serve our God. There is a responsibility that we have. When we are purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus, we have a responsibility to be part of the kingdom, and we have a responsibility to serve God as priests. Priests have a responsibility to serve. And every one of you has a responsibility as a priest. Every one of you has a temple to care for. What's a temple? A temple is the place of the presence of God on earth. Regardless of what religion people have, that's the definition of temple. It's a place where they believe that their God dwells on earth. So for us, as a temple of the Holy Spirit, it means that God is dwelling in you here on earth. You have a responsibility, therefore, as a priest, to look after the temple that you have responsibility for. As followers of Jesus Christ, as temples of the Holy Spirit, we become a place of God's presence on earth. As priests serving God, we get to be the intersection of heaven and earth. That's the responsibility that we have. We get to let God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means that when we speak, when we act, our words and actions are meant to convey and constantly release God's presence wherever you go. As God's people, in the place that God's called you to be, you're the presence. You carry the presence of God, and you get to release that, that people would experience his presence. We're called to be priests who proclaim his presence. We get to be priests. And the priests in the Old Testament, when someone was sick and they believed they were healed, what did? They came to the priest, and the priest would declare healing. We get to declare healing in the name of Jesus that they would get healed. And the priests in the Old Testament, people came to them in order to sacrifice and repent of their sin. We get to walk with people and encourage them to help them as they journey with Jesus, addressing sin in their lives, as they repent of that sin in order that they would experience the goodness of God, the sanctification is available to them. You see, earlier we saw the first words that God spoke to Adam and Eve were words of blessing. And as priests, we get to bless others. When we bless, we're speaking God's intentions over someone's life. We're speaking God's favor over someone or some situation. We want to be seeking God and coming into alignment with what God has to say for that person, for that situation, for that environment. And when we speak words in alignment with what God has for them, then God moves powerfully. That's the power of blessing. And see, over the last several years, I've been on a journey of discovering once again what blessing actually is. See, prayer is really powerful. Intercession is really, really important. But I think along the way, we've dropped the significance of blessing and the power that comes through blessing. And yet a blessing is to speak out a word in alignment with what God has, with an expectation that God is going to move powerfully to fulfill his will in that person's life, to bring about those words of blessing. And it may not just be in a person's life, it may be in an organization, it may be in an environment, but we speak it, having heard what God wants released, and we release it. And so over these last years, I've spent a lot of time just trying to discern from God, what is it that you have for my family? And so over a course of some months, I just continued to sit and journal and write and record what were the things that God was saying for our family. And so now every day for several years now, I've blessed our family and I speak out those blessings. And I've done the same for this church. Seeking God, what are the things that you would have for this church? What are the prophetic words? What are the words from Scripture that are Rhema words for this church? Then we brought that to the elders, and the elders reflected on it and contributed into that. We then preached on it for 10 weeks here in the church. They're all written out here as a blessing for this church. And then I discovered that, well, hang on, it's not just about my family, it's not just about our church, it's about our city. And so I sat down and I started praying and saying, God, what's your will for this city? What's your word for this city? And I shared with the mayor. I sat with the mayor and said, this is what I believe God's saying for this city. And he invited me to speak that one morning before a gathering of about 70 down at City Hall. Because he wants words of blessing. God wants words of blessing released. And so can I encourage you that as a priest who is called to serve God, one aspect of that is to release his blessing, to hear what it is that God wants you to say and release over people, over places, over environments, over work, whatever it is that God has, that God's put on your heart, speak and release blessing in alignment with God's will. And for those of you who are saying, well, I don't know how to do that, I'm just going to give you a really simple 2-minute summary. Start with, I bless you in the name of Jesus. As simple as that. You see, as a priest, you have authority to bless in the name of Jesus Christ. Take up that authority and speak it out. I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. That Jesus, he is the one who can do what is needed. He is the one who, that as we align with his will, wants us to declare his will with authority over that person's situation, environment. And it's the same way as we pray, may your kingdom come, may your will be done. We bless you in the name of Jesus that he may do what he has called for that person, what he desires for that person. And so according to Revelation 5, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You've made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth. This reminds us you've been purchased by God with the blood of Jesus. It tells us that there are people here from many tribes and languages and peoples and nations. God has called you to be his children. When you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, you've been made to be a kingdom. That's what the 24 elders continue to declare. God calls you to live in alignment with his will and his plan and his purpose, according to his rule, according to his ways, according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. God has blessed you with the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life as a priest, as a temple. And as a priest, you're called to serve God. You're called to bless people and bless creation, to restore it back towards what God always originally intended it to be. And so I just want to wrap up this morning, because I've spent some time saying, God, what do you want to release this morning? What's your heart to bless your people today? And so can I invite you now just to put your hands out like so and just receive what I trust God wants to release as a blessing for you this day. Children of God, precious children of God, you are not your own. You're bought with a price. You've been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, and in his name, the name of Jesus Christ, I bless you. I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, that he may sanctify you through and through, that he may heal you and restore you to be the person he created you to be, that you may discover the destiny that he has in store for you, and that you would step into it. I bless you that you'd be the person of God in the place where you are right now, that in that place may you learn, grow, and cause those around you to flourish in your home, in your street, in your town or region, in your nation. May you reveal the presence of God and release the kingdom of God, that that place and those people would be healthier and stronger, because you are there as a priest who is restoring things back towards the way that God intended it to be. I bless you that you may walk in the truth of God and in his word. I bless you that you may walk in the grace of God and his Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, may you be blessed and be a blessing wherever you go. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 0746361144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.